Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, beginning with verse 19 and reading through verse 24. There Jesus says these words, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." Let's pray. Lord Jesus, these are our words that we have heard before. And yet we know, Lord, we know two things. We know, Lord, that we are slow to learn. And we know that even when we do learn, we are quick to fall back into our old ways. And so, Lord, even though these are words that we have heard before, we pray that we might hear them this morning as we have never heard them before. Speak to us, Lord, for we're listening. Amen. These days, it really comes in handy if you can do more than one thing at the same time. If you can get dinner ready and help your kids with their homework at the same time, that comes in very handy. If you can clean the house and watch television at the same time, that may come in pretty handy. If you can drive your car and talk on your cell phone at the same time, that might come in pretty handy. These days, it comes in pretty handy if you can do more than one thing at the same time, because our tasks are many and our time is short. We have lots of stuff that either needs to be done or we want to do, and we don't have that much time to do it in. So it's pretty handy for us to be able to do more than one thing at the same time. But there are some combinations of things that you just can't do at the same time. You cannot drive to the grocery store and to your kid's school at the same time. You can't. You can't play on the jungle gym and the swing set at the same time. You can't do those things at the same time. You can't go to lunch at Russ's East Town and Russ's South Town at the same time. You have to choose one or the other. And the reason that you can't do those things at the same time is because they do not combine in such a way that you can devote part of yourself to one of them while at the same time devoting the rest of yourself to the other one. Both of those things require all of you to do them. So it isn't just that you can't do them both well at the same time. and that it would be better for you to do them separately, you can't do them at all at the same time. You can't keep or send 99% of yourself over to the jungle gym to play and keep 1% of yourself at the swing set. You can't do that. You can't divide yourself in any way between doing those two things. So you have to choose one or the other. One of them you have to choose to do completely, and the other one, not at all. You have to choose one or the other. And the point that Jesus is making here in Matthew 6 and other places in Scripture that we're going to look at this morning is that the combination of serving God and serving money is just like that. While we would like to do them both at the same time, while we often try to do them both at the same time, we can't. They do not combine in such a way that we can spend part of ourselves doing one of them and the rest of ourselves doing the other one. It's impossible. As impossible as it is to play on the jungle gym and the swing set at the same time. It can't be done. Because both serving God and serving money require all of you. And the foundational reason that this is true, that you cannot serve God and serve money at the same time, is because serving God and serving money are not simply tasks like cleaning the house or driving the car. Serving God and serving money are devotions. They are not tasks. They're devotions. They are loves. They don't reside solely in our minds in some kind of checklist that needs to be done once a week. They reside in our hearts as things that we long to do. To serve one or to serve the other is to be devoted to one or the other. It is to love one or the other. Jesus begins in verse 19. He says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, your heart will be also." There's a direct connection between where you are storing your treasure and where your heart is, where your devotion lies. And there's a connection between those two in two ways. First of all, you will begin to store treasure in the place to which you have directed your heart. So if you have directed your heart to the things of heaven, you will begin to store up treasure there. If you have directed your heart to the things of the earth, you will begin to store up treasure there. That's the first way that they are connected. But the second way is that the longer you go on, and the more treasure you store up in one place or the other, the more tied to that place your heart will become. The deeper that love will be, the deeper your devotion will be, either to the things of heaven or to the things of earth. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be. So Jesus isn't just encouraging us to make a little room in our lives somewhere to store up some treasure in heaven so that when we get there, we won't be disappointed. He is encouraging us to begin a way of life. To aim your heart at the things of heaven. And then to go about storing up treasure there instead of here, so that more and more our hearts will be tied, devoted to the things of heaven, rather than more and more captivated by the things of earth. By using the heart, Jesus means to emphasize the depth of the devotion that we will have to one thing or the other. How deep into us it goes. You will have a devotion. You will have a love. You will have a love either of the treasures of heaven or of the treasures of earth. And that love, that devotion, goes down very deep. So it isn't something you can just turn on and turn off. Because it's a devotion, because it's a love, it's not something that you can just do for a little while and then stop doing and then love something else from your heart. It's not a task in that way. You can't put it on your calendar and say, serve God Sunday, serve money Monday through Friday. You can't do it. Because it wells up from within you. Your devotion, your love determines what you serve. And that thing you will be serving 7 days a week. You cannot serve God on Sunday and money the rest of the week any more than you could love one spouse during the week and then on the weekends love another spouse, both with a genuine love. Your heart would have to be one place or the other. It can't be both places. At all times, the heart is devoted to the one it loves the best. So it's either in love with the things of God, and it finds serving money, or even dealing with money, or working for money to be a waste of time, and to be something that just gets in the way of doing what the heart really wants to do the most, which is store up treasure in heaven. Or the heart will be devoted to storing up treasure on earth, and it will find working for or serving God to be something that just gets in the way of what it really wants to be doing. One of them will be a love, and the other will be a pest. One will be something I long to do. The other will be something I might have to do. But they won't both be loves. Not genuine. It's the love of God that creates service to Him. It's the love of money that creates service to it. One leads to godliness, and the other leads to evil. Probably the most famous verse of all about money is from 1 Timothy 6, the first part of verse 10 there, where it says, "For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil." And we're always quick to say, yes, it's not money itself, it's the love of money that's the root of all kinds of evil. And that's true. It's true. It's just the love of it. But what is the love of money? How would you recognize that? How would you recognize it in your own heart if you were in love with money? Because it seems to me that probably to a person, if we all had to stand up here and testify, each one of us would say that we are not in love with money. Have you ever purchased a lottery ticket? Why? Have you ever dreamed about what it would be like to make twice as much money as you do today? Why? And how does it feel when you dream about that? How does it feel when you dream about what it would be like if you made twice as much money as you do right now? How does that feel? How does it make you feel inside? Does it feel at all like it did when you were falling in love? You know, that kind of giddy, wouldn't it be wonderful feeling? Is that the way it feels? Is there a desire there? What does it mean to love money? Or to have a devotion to it? Well, Paul tells us, you know, right before that verse that's so famous, "For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil," right before that verse, Paul gives us a better definition of what that is. In verse 9, he says, "People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs." Would you classify yourself as someone who wants to get rich? Just wants to get rich. Would you classify yourself as someone who's eager for money? If not, then why did you buy the lottery ticket? If not, why do you get that giddy feeling inside when you think about what it would be like to make twice as much money as you do today? You see, we want to go back to the beginning and say that we can do both of these things at the same time. Wait a minute, just because I desire money doesn't mean that I love it. Or it doesn't mean that I love it in the way that Jesus is saying I shouldn't love it. I can desire money and I can desire to serve God at the same time. No, you can't. You can't. Truly. You can only truly desire one or the other, because they both demand the same place in your heart. The scriptures do not encourage us to try to keep a good balance between serving God and serving money. They never say that. God never says, "Just don't forget about me. the scriptures always encourage us. Actually, what they do is command us to be eager for the things of God and to be indifferent. Indifferent to the things of the world. John writes in 1 John chapter 2, beginning with verse 15, "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." That is, love for the Father, genuine love for the Father, is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, desire, and the boasting of what he has or what he does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. The problem of money lies in our hearts. It lies in our desires. It lies in the things that we want. And if we expand that text in 1 Timothy 6 a little more, you know, we started with, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, and then we jump back to grab verse 9. If we jump back a little farther and start in verse 6, we find Paul explaining not only what he's warning against, but what he's advocating, what he wants us to do instead. He says, "Godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that." People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. So what's the opposite of a love of money? What's the opposite of that desire to get rich? What is the opposite of those things, says Paul, is contentment. Not less desire for the things of the world, but no desire for the things of the world beyond what is necessary for life, beyond the necessities of life. He mentions food and clothing, but those are just representations of what is necessary. In other places, Scripture talks about shelter. But whatever it is that is a necessity of life, those are the things that we need. And those are the things we will be content with. Content, not desiring more. That's what he's advocating. And are we content with that? Are we content with the basic necessities of life? In our hearts, are we content with them? Are you content with a home that meets your actual needs, clothing that meets your actual needs, and food that meets your actual needs? Or do you desire more? Are you dreaming of something more? Follow me along a path for a second. If you are not content to simply have the things that you need, then you have entered the territory of the things that you want. True? Once you enter the territory of the things that you want, you have entered the territory of desire. You have entered the heart. And upon entering the heart, upon entering your heart, you find that it is not content with the things that it needs, but desires more. Then you have found a heart that is pointed toward the things of the world. You have a love, and you cannot have more than one. If you cannot pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," from a genuine heart that speaks those words from the heart, then you do not have a genuine love for your Father who is in heaven. Not the kind of love He wants you to have. And the longer that you live that way, the more in love with this world you will become. Paul says, some have even wandered from the faith. Some eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. One man who understood the place of money in his life was a man named Agur. The sayings of Agur are found in Proverbs chapter 30. And in verses 8 and 9, he prays to the Lord. He says this, "Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, 'Who is the Lord?' Or I may become poor and steal and so dishonor the name of my God." In each case, Agur is concerned that his financial situation will affect his love. He doesn't want his financial situation to affect adversely in any way his love for the Lord. So don't let me be rich. Don't let me stop me from being rich. Because I don't want to get to the point where I say, "Who is the Lord?" I don't want my money to get in the way of my relationship to you. But don't let me be poor either. Because then I might be tempted to steal, and then I would dishonor your name. And I don't want to do that, because I love you. So don't let me be rich, Lord. And don't let me be poor. Give me what I need. Because if I have what I need, then I know that my relationship to you can be what it needs to be. One relationship for him was a relationship of love. The other was just a task. And that's the way it will turn out in each of our lives. One of them will be a love, either God or money. And the other will just become a task. Because it will not have captivated our heart. Even, and we'll get to this later in the series, even if we give a full tithe to the Lord, it doesn't mean that He has our heart.
One of them will be a love and the other will be a task, but which will be which? There's no escaping dealing with money in this world. You can't escape dealing with it. You need some amount of money for your needs. But those who are in love with God deal with money differently. Don't be fooled into thinking that you can look at money the same way everyone around you does and still be in love with the Lord. Sit down and ask yourself sometime, if I had to describe the life of someone whose heart had been fully given to the Lord, what would that life look like? And then ask yourself, does my life compare with it? You know, we always have higher standards for someone else than we have for ourselves. That's just human nature. If you had to describe the life for somebody else that they would have, that would reflect them being captivated with a love for the Lord, what would it be like? And is it like yours? Who is my master? Who do I love? Who or what am I living for? No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. For which does your heart yearn? To which is your life directed? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you have blessed us. You have thrown open the floodgates of heaven, Lord, and you have blessed us with so many things. For many of us, Lord, life here on earth and the things that this life would offer us almost seem like heaven itself. And yet we know, Lord, that this world and all of its desires are going to pass away. We ask, Lord, that you would captivate our hearts, that you would be our love, our only love. For the sake of your name, and for the sake of our relationship to you. Amen.